Hello, and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading information services partner for emerging markets executives. We partner with business leaders at over 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data that help power their emerging market business strategies. The focus of today's podcast is Brazil. We'll cover FSG's 2014 outlook, as well as explore long-range scenarios. My name is Richard Leggett, and I'm the CEO of FSG, and I'll be moderating today's podcast. Joining me today in the studio is Pablo Gonzalez, FSG's Senior Brazil Analyst. As a reminder, this podcast, the accompanying report, and all of FSG's content is available via our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com or on the FSG iPad application. Pablo, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Let's get started. Brazil is clearly at a crossroads right now. And I thought we could structure our discussion around four broad topics that you outline in your report. How we got where we are today, our 2014 economic outlook, the upcoming October 2014 elections, and then long-range scenarios. And I don't want to spend too much time on how we got there, but I do think it's an important context setter. During the Lula years, Brazil grew at an average of 4.1%, and in 2010, it grew as fast as 7.5%. And it was featured on the cover of The Economist as Latin America's big success story. Since then, the growth model has literally run out of steam, with growth slowing to an average of 2%. What drove that sudden slowdown? You make some interesting points about growth accelerators that have started to fall off. What are those?
Yeah, I mean, Brazil enjoyed growth accelerators during the Lula years. Some of them were internal and some of them were external. The external ones, the most important ones, you know, a commodity super cycle that was led by China. But now we see China transitioning into a consumer-led model, so we don't expect commodity prices to be as high and demand to be as high. We also had, you know, a big influx of capital into Brazil in a moment in which, you know, the developed world was going down the tubes. You saw Brazil with, you know, much higher growth rates. So investors were really looking for, you know, get higher returns on investment. So that's why you saw, you know, all those capital flows into Brazil. And, you know, and from the internal side, you saw Brazil just growing by adding new workers to the workforce, but not necessarily with productivity gains. And also, you know, a massive credit expansion, you know, that was used to support consumption internally. In terms of workforce growth, you know, Brazil has an already super low unemployment rate, close to full employment. So we don't see any major improvements in this front. And when it comes to credit expansion, this has created a lot of inflationary pressures on the one hand, and also deterioration of the fiscal account. So we see the government trying to pull back a little bit on credit expansion.
So all of these accelerators have essentially come off the books, and that leaves us with sort of the baseline scenario.
Definitely.
And then you make the point in your report that to reaccelerate growth, the government will need to lift both the gross fixed investment as well as increase productivity. Those don't sound like easy things to do. How will they do that?
Yes, I mean, that's a very good question. And as you mentioned, this is not an SFX. But we think that Brazil really needs to implement an ambitious reform agenda and make the right investments in Brazil. So when I talk about investment, what we're talking about is, you know, the usual suspect, Custo Brasil. You need to make reforms that lower the cost of doing business in Brazil. So we have, as everybody knows, a complex tax system, you know, rigid labor market. But you also have a pension system that doesn't incentivize savings in Brazil. So that I'm talking about, you know, how do you finance investments? And on the other hand, we have a super low productivity in Brazil that can only be fixed with, you know, with better education, probably a model in which the government is not as interventionist as it is now, with less import tariffs and again, you know, more R&D investment and stronger institutions when it comes to property rights. So, I mean, all these things, as you mentioned, will take it's not going to be fixed in 1 year. And it really depends on who wins the elections in October when it comes to how fast Brazil can achieve many of these reforms.
Okay, and we'll come to the elections in a second. But I do want to sort of set the backdrop for 2014. So with what you've just described as sort of the current situation, how we got there, and kind of some of the structural changes that are necessary, what is the outlook for 2014? Give us your headlines, think in terms of GDP growth, other key drivers, and where you see potential downside risk.
Yes, of course. I mean, let me just go back a little bit into the reforming agenda. 2014 will not be a year of major reforms because, again, we have a very complicated calendar with a late Carnival. We have the World Cup and the October elections. And also that will affect investment. So we expect investment to be muted this year because of all the uncertainties. So what we think that will drive growth is pretty much government spending. And if you see, you know, since 1999, government spending in Brazil has grown 1.2% faster than average during election years. So that will happen this year. And we'll also see consumption, you know, being strong. Because, again, even if the economy slows down, Brazil has a very low unemployment rate and wages, real wages, are going up. So it's going to be consumption and government. And from the supply side, we expect a record soy harvest. You know, also the service sector will grow, pushed by the World Cup. And from the external sector side, we see probably more exportations this year because of a weaker Brazilian real. So those are the main drivers.
So what does that translate to from a growth perspective?
So we're thinking about a growth rate of around 1.8 to 2.2%, depending on whether, you know, downside risks materialize or not.
And those downside risks are?
So we're talking about two main downside risks. On the one hand, we have persistent high inflation, which has already prompted the government to increase interest rates, you know, 8 times since April last year. And they just increased the interest rate 2 weeks ago. And that will obviously slow down the economy. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we have credit rating agencies threatening Brazil with a downgrade. So that will probably make the government implement budget cuts that were not budgeted for 2014 in order to avoid that downgrade.
So that's sort of the low end of the range based on those downsides, 1.8, and the high end, 2.2. And is there any upside beyond the high end that you see? Is there potential for upside?
I mean, I'm not super optimistic with any upside scenario. I mean, the only one I could think about is higher exportations, again, because of a lower real. And we do expect the Brazilian real to you know, depreciate in a gradual fashion this year.
Further from here.
Yes.
And when you think about that from a client's perspective, what sectors in your mind are best positioned under your, let's stick with your base case scenario?
Well, I said that government spending will pick up this year, and we need to understand this is an electoral year. Many of the public demands or claims were around public services. So we do expect, you know, for instance, the healthcare sector is going to be a good year for them. You know, the consumer sector is going to be a good year for them as well, not only because of the World Cup. I mean, the World Cup will have a good impact for them in a limited time frame, but I think it's going to be a good year for them, again, because of the low unemployment rate and still strong consumption. And it will probably be a worse year for industrials and telecommunications, again, because of all the uncertainties that we have this year.
And uncertainty means that companies don't want to spend.
They don't want to spend. I mean, it's very hard for them to plan anything for the long term with all these uncertainties.
So we talk about the pace of reforms largely depending on the outcome of the October election. So let's shift to that topic now. It seems that that President Dilma Rousseff is positioned to essentially be reelected. Are you in agreement with that, and are you considering other scenarios?
Yes. My base case is that President Rousseff will be reelected. And again, I mean, I'm saying this because, you know, her current approval ratings are above 40%. And most importantly, because she's an incumbent. And normally incumbents have a threefold advantage over challengers. I mean, this is not my own calculation. This comes from polling companies who have very strong statistical models. So those two things, you know, position her in a very good situation. But things could go wrong this year for some reasons that we can talk about if you want.
Yeah, let's do that. But before we do that, assuming a scenario where she does win, is there a political will to then push through a reform agenda, or is status quo more likely?
I mean, the status quo is that, you know, the PT will probably pursue reforms, but not at the pace that investors want. So Brazil always had this vocation of being a great country, but at their own pace. So I don't expect any major reform for the probably next 3 to 4 years if Dilma gets reelected.
Okay, and we talk about in your report that it's possible we could see a resumption of protests leading into the World Cup when Brazil is going to be on the world stage. One, how likely is that in your mind? And two, could you see that shifting the scales in the election at all?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like the protests are already discounted. Many people do expect protests in June because the protests last year happened with the Confederations Cup, which is like a rehearsal of the World Cup. And, you know, they were in the spotlight. So we do expect a protest again this year just because Brazil will be again in the spotlight. In terms of how will affect the elections, it's not only about the protest. We are also monitoring other signposts. So you have, you know, from a national sentiment side, you do have the protest, but you also have, you know, the threat of electricity rationing that was actually very important in 2002 when José Serra was beat by Lula. And we see, you know, reservoir levels in Brazil are very, very low, very similar to the ones that we see in 2002. You know, Brazil has more generation capacity with thermal plants, but, you know, the chances of blackouts during, you know, during the World Cup, during the dry season of Brazil, is not a far-fetched possibility. So that could really affect them. And also, again, if inflation gets out of control, which is not our base case, if unemployment were to rise, which is not our base case either, those things could, you know, rapidly erode Dilma's popularity and lead to a more contested runoff in the elections.
And let's talk about that for a second. The likely strongest contender is Campos, in your view?
Yes, we do believe that Campos has a better chance against Dilma in a runoff. Although, you know, many people would say, okay, but what about Aécio Neves? You know, Aécio Neves is stronger in the polls. But we believe is, you know, Aécio belongs to the PSDB, is more of a, you know, long-standing political party in Brazil, but is more associated with the interests of the business sector. So what we do expect is, okay, if Aécio Neves were to run against Dilma, probably the votes of the leftist political parties would split between the PT and the PSDB. So probably Dilma would win, but if Campos were to run against Dilma, he would probably garner all the support from the left. So he would be in a much better position. And we also need to take into account, you know, as of now, Campos name recognition is 56%, which means like half of the Brazilian people don't know him yet. And if you want to be liked, you got to be known first. And that's probably going to start happening in July when the elections kick off. So we do see Campos, you know, gaining traction since July.
Okay, good. Let's then discuss in our remaining time longer term scenarios for Brazil. So 2014 certainly sounds like a bit of a transition year and a year where we're not going to see significant acceleration. But let's go beyond. Let's look in 2015 and beyond and thinking about, one, what are your sort of longer term growth prospects? And then let's talk about how clients can best position themselves.
I mean, that's a good question. I think growth prospects do really depend on who wins the elections.
Okay, so let's go under, let's pick two scenarios. Let's pick a Rousseff administration and let's pick a Campos administration.
Perfect. Okay, so in terms of what Rousseff would do, she'll probably stick to, you know, macroeconomic fundamentals. As you said, 2015 would be an adjustment year. They will probably go back to fiscal responsibility. You know, priorities would be controlling inflation again. So probably 2015 will be a year in which we will not see much growth. And probably her main three priorities will be, you know, focusing on upgrading infrastructure.
Better ahead at the Olympics for sure, right?
Yes, and they don't want to make the same mistakes. They don't want to...
They'll have a test run with the World Cup.
Exactly. So, I mean, infrastructure upgrading will be definitely one priority. Another priority will be expanding social services for the middle class. And now you saw, you know, with the discoveries of the pre-salt oil fields, now Brazil is going to devote 70% of those revenues to education and 25% to healthcare. And finally, we see something that is probably not good for, you know, lifting or unlocking Brazil's growth potential, which is deepening industrial policy that supports local content in Brazil and that supports in local production.
What does that translate in headline number for 2015 in your mind?
I would say, okay, if 2014 is going to be from 1.8 to 2.2%, I would say 1.5% to 1.8% in 2015.
Okay, so still sluggish.
Yeah. So we've talked about, you know, what would happen in Brazil if Dilma were reelected. In terms of what, you know, the prospects would be if Campos were elected, again, Campos is a very business-friendly political leader. We've talked to some clients who have been in meetings with him, and what they said is, Campos really understands my business. He really understands my sector. He would be a much better, you know, business partner. So we do expect Campos to be better for investment in Brazil. And when it comes to his main three priorities, we would say the first one would be sustainable development. And this has two major facets. The first one is that agribusiness would have a second coming. Campos was very successful in his home state, Pernambuco, you know, with agribusiness and petrochemicals. He would probably want to expand this to the rest of Brazil. And also regional development. He's from the Northeast. He really sees Brazil from a Northeast perspective, and the Northeast is growing at, you know, 7% per year. So he would probably want Brazil to develop more evenly, to see it. And then political reform, he really wants to reduce the number of political parties in Brazil, which is probably, they have too many political parties, 32 political parties, that's too much. So he would probably implement political reform as well, which would be, reducing political bargaining and improving accountability and representation. And in terms of what this means to businesses is, now it's very hard for Brazil to pass an important reform with, you know, fewer political parties, less political bargaining. The atmosphere would be better for reforming in Brazil. And finally, again, he would increase the role of the private sector. So he would promote a stable business environment. He really advocates for clear rules, long-term planning for investment, a more intelligent tax system for companies. And one thing he was very successful doing in Pernambuco were PPPs. So PPPs means really bringing the private sector into the economy.
And so under a Campos administration, do you have a sense of what the headline forecast could look like 2015 and beyond? It sounds like it would be a higher growth environment, is what you're implying?
Yes, but we need to be a little bit cautious with this because, again, most of these reforms imply negotiations with the rest of the political parties. So Campos will probably be in a better position to implement these reforms, but it will take at least 2 or 3 years until you see results, even if Campos were reelected.
Okay, so we're basically in an environment right now which feels like a slower growth environment for the next several years in Brazil, regardless of the election outcome, but perhaps a more business-friendly environment under Campos if he should win.
Yes.
So we'll watch this closely.
We will.
Pablo, I have one final question. It seems like right now, at least, that Dilma is going to win the election. And so if you're one of our clients and you're positioning yourself for that probable outcome and an environment where we see an upgrade to infrastructure and expanding social services and a industrial and trade policy environment geared more towards job creation, how do you best position yourselves? Walk us kind of sector by sector. In terms of the impact.
So if you belong to the consumer good industry, despite more stringent access to credit, despite a potential uptick in unemployment, you know, middle class consolidation will ensure, you know, long-term growth for consumer spending.
Can't stop the rising consumer class, basically.
I think you cannot. And since, you know, the focus is going to be on, you know, improving education, improving healthcare. And you see this not only in Brazil, but in Latin America, you know, rising middle class, fiscal resources, more government, not less government. So yeah, for consumer goods, I think they're well positioned. When it comes to industrials, you know, more demanding local content rules and incentives to produce locally in Brazil, that will continue to drive strategy and execution. You know, so you will see companies thinking about, okay, should I produce locally in Brazil or not? How can I avoid, you know, this import tariff, these local content rules? How do I get advantage of the BNDES financing? Things that, you know, are already in the table. But again, you know, major reforms, major tax and labor laws will continue to pressure bottom line performance. So it's going to be challenging for them.
Continued Custo Brazil operating environment, basically.
Yes. I mean, we see more progress when it comes to infrastructure, but infrastructure is just one of the five main components of Custo Brazil. If you belong to the telecommunications sector, you know, now telecommunication, telecom companies are navigating, you know, regulatory changes all the time. They have to cope with a heavy hand of the government. This is unlikely to improve with Rousseff. And again, you know, if you saw a slowdown in the Brazilian economic growth and, you know, and a weaker consumer outlook, that could, you know, potentially hamper demand for new technologies and services, you know, potentially seeing subscribers cut back their spending. And finally, when it comes to healthcare, there's going to be a lot of fiscal resources devoted to the healthcare industry, but the healthcare industry is also going to be affected by local content rules and by the fact, you know, that Brazil wants to create a biotech cluster in Brazil. So it's also going to be a little bit challenging for them in terms of the decisions they're going to have to make in terms of footprint, in terms of strategy and execution.
Okay. So, but basically, consumer goods and healthcare, better positioned, industrials and telecoms, tougher sledding.
Definitely.
Okay, good. Well, I think we're up against time, but Pablo, thank you so much for the time, the very insightful discussion, and we look forward to continuing this discussion as the year progresses and certainly as we approach the elections. As a reminder, you can speak to Pablo or any of the FSG analysts at any time by simply reaching out via your FSG client relationship director, and you can also access all of FSG's content on our portal and on our iPad application. This concludes our podcast. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging market portfolio.